Welcome to your Sunday Reader, a joint podcast between St. Mary Parish and WorkingToBeatHell.org. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the second Sunday of Lent 2007. A reading from the Book of Genesis. The Lord God took Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Just so," he added, "shall your descendants be." Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. He then said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession." "O Lord God," he asked, "how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He answered him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old she-goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Abram brought him all these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other. But the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set, it was dark. There appeared a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch, which passed between those pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid?
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Hear, O Lord, the sound of my call. Have pity on me and answer me. Of you my heart speaks. You my glance seeks.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Your presence, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Do not in anger repel your servant. You are my helper. Cast me not off.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I have often told you, and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen Son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, and thank you for joining us this afternoon as we're here in studio in my own office today. Our studio often moves around, as some of you know. And today we have in the Gospel another geographical image, and it's an image of a mountain. In some of the other podcasts, we've talked about the image of the desert. This time we've got the image of the mountain. And oftentimes in the spiritual life, the mountain is a sign of a place where we go to encounter God. And in today's reading, we kind of see that as Peter, John, and James go up on the mountain. It's on the mountain that they have an encounter with God. Of course, they were with Jesus, who is God, but this encounter is kind of unique in that they see Jesus transfigured before him and glorified before him. And I think that's a good image for us to use, this image of going up in the mountain as we're in this Lenten season, because while we start off talking about the desert imagery, we also, during this Lenten time, are called to go up to the mountain and have an encounter with God.
Yes. Actually, one thing that surprised me, I don't know why, but I've never really registered, as Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah. It says they're talking about Jesus' exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. I never really thought about what they were talking about. I mean, it just, oh, I always thought, oh, they're up there, you know, talk about, hey, isn't God great, or, you know, aren't I great? But here he is, Jesus is talking about, or they're talking about what's going to happen, and that was just really surprising.
And it's interesting because the two people he's talking to encountered Christ in a mountain, or God, I'm sorry, mountain.
Yeah.
And they both, you know, Moses led the Exodus, of course, into the Promised Land, and Jesus is going to lead the Exodus into the Promised Kingdom, if you will. And so that's a neat little image that you get there when you look at the encountering, the mountain, and the significance of that. It's kind of where you go and you get your mission. The important thing, though, is to hear is there's also, you have Peter in this story who doesn't quite know what to make of this experience.
Poor Peter.
Yeah. And this often happens with Peter. Peter's often the foil for a lot of things in Scripture. But here, you know, he's up and he sees, he's got this encounter with God, but he doesn't quite understand it as being a commissioning, some kind of a mission is being given to him. And instead, he says, well, let's make tents and stay here, one for each of, for you, for Elijah, and for Moses. But of course, you know, it says here he doesn't know what he's saying. In some of the other versions of this, Jesus even rebukes him, saying, you know, no, we can't stay here. Because, of course, whenever we have an encounter with God, whenever we're in these mountains in our spiritual life, the goal isn't for us to stay there, but somehow it leads us into some kind of a mission. We have an encounter, and of course we have to do something. That's a theme that we talk about a lot, is that our goal isn't just to have the encounter with Christ, but then to be called to do something afterwards.
Just last night we had a retreat meeting with our high school teens, and one of the kids is giving a talk, and he's referring to this scripture passage. And he was talking last night about how he's actually climbed mountains. And his point, one of his points, was that climbing the mountain is great, and you get to the top, but you don't want to leave because you've expended so much of your energy, you don't really have that much to go back down. And oftentimes that's the hardest part. And I know when I go on retreat, that's sort of what I feel like, oh God, can I just stay here, please? It's so nice and comfortable. But it's exactly what you're saying, that we have to go back. And what is our, we've been renewed and now we need to carry out the mission that we've been given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also, when I was in Colorado Springs, when I was a novice with the Congregation of Holy Cross, where I actually have a friend who's listening to our podcast now from Colorado Springs. So anyone in Colorado Springs, welcome to the podcast. But there were a lot of mountains and that we would climb. We went up Pikes Peak, and then the property that we were on had a lot of mountains as well. And it's tough going up the mountain. And a lot of times you have to have, you know, your hiking stick to help you climb up the mountain. But coming down, a lot of times, there's a couple of things. One is that the hard thing about coming down the mountain is also controlling your speed as you go down, because you can get out of control. And a lot of times you use your hiking stick a lot going down a mountain to help you control your speed so you don't pick up too much speed and get out of control and fall. I think that's also a good image, because a lot of times we go on, you're talking about going on the retreat and you're at the top of this mountain or in any kind of an encounter with God, and you have a lot of excitement. And there's always the danger, though, when you come down that mountain to carry out your mission, you don't want to fall because you've got so much excitement built up that you need to find a way to kind of steady yourself back into the world. Because if you rush down that mountain too fast, you're going to trip, fall, and injure yourself. And then you'll be a lot less excited.
I never really thought about it. That's a good analogy to use. I had also, somebody one time was talking about using the mountain as an analogy again, that everybody likes to stay up on a mountain, but if you look at a terrain in general, there's not a lot of growth on the top of the mountain, but in valleys, they're usually green and lush. And sometimes in our lives, it's in the valleys where we're going through hard times, but that's where we're really growing.
Going to the first reading, too, I also kind of like, this is kind of the beginning of the whole really Judeo-Christian tradition here with the story of Abram, who will later become Abraham. And he's got this, you know, promise. This year we have the image of Abraham being promised certain land that God is going to give to him. And I think that that's a good parallel between the kingdom. You know, we have the story of Abram conversing with the Lord, and the Lord's giving him this great land for his people and promising him all these descendants. And then in the gospel, of course, we have Jesus, and he's talking about his exodus, talking about that kingdom that will be given to all of us. The other thing, though, and it kind of also ties in with St. Paul's readings, is talking about when we conform ourselves to Christ, we become citizens of heaven. In a sense, we're the descendants of Christ there, just as we are the descendants of Abraham as well. And as citizens of heaven, you know, we're warned here in this passage to really to glory in the cross and not to be enemies of the cross, as St. Paul calls it there. And he also gives us some confidence that, you know, even though we have our mortal bodies, which will corrupt and die, eventually we also have Christ who awaits us as our Savior, as it says here. He awaits us as our Savior, and he'll change our lowly bodies to conform with his glorified body. And again, that glorified body is kind of, it might be what we see in the Transfiguration. Of course, we don't know exactly what we see there, and it doesn't say that it's the same as the resurrected body or the glorified body, but in some way, what's being seen on that mountain is a glorified body. And it's kind of a premonition of what we will become if we listen to Christ, as the gospel reading says. The word that comes from God in the clouds is, "This is my chosen son, listen to him." And if we listen to him and follow him, we too can be transfigured in the way that Christ was transfigured.
Yeah, all of these readings talk about light, even the psalm talking about the Lord is my light and my salvation. That's one of my favorite psalms. But light is such an important image. I was also thinking about the covenant that God makes with Abraham about his descendants being as numerous as the stars. And so for several generations, we know that people stayed faithful to the covenant. But after a while, it sort of probably didn't mean as much because, you know, when God talks right to you, you sort of remember it. Mm-hmm. But so generations go by, and then God had this great idea that instead of sending another prophet or something, he sends himself. And so Jesus fulfills that both sides of the covenant. He is God, but he is also the descendant. And so it's neat to see how that all works. That's pretty cool, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and you're right. That does all kind of connect together there. Sure, and it's what we call salvation history, of course. The whole history of how God, from the very beginning, intended to save humanity, and that comes to fulfillment in Christ, of course. And I see that we are running out of time here. We'll wrap up our podcast with that, and we hope that you join us next week on your Sunday Reader. God bless.